to the Week 8 Fantasy Football All In with the Saints with myself, Jake Seely, and Bobby McMahon. Tweet me at AllInKid, tweet Bobby at HelloAndBobby. As we said right before we came on, it actually could be the Week 8 Fantasy Football Pickup Running Back Show, because that seems to be what's going to be so heavily discussed today. But we will hit on the other positions, but obviously a lot to talk about. I'm assuming somehow you were involved with the madness that happened this week. I don't know very many people who are playing in multiple leagues who didn't get hit by at least something.
Yeah, I think you had to be. I think it's everywhere now. And, you know, some of the earlier injuries and craziness that was going on was, you know, some people avoided it at this point. At this point in the season, we're heading into Week 8. And I think everyone's felt something, whether it's an injury or a suspension or, you know, an underperforming starter that gets replaced by a high upside rookie. I mean, it's all happening right now. And that's why this show, the Waiver Wire show, is just so crucial, because you really need to stay active on the waiver wire. Even if you're in first place and you're, you know, on top of the world 7-0, you need to stay relevant and stay on the waiver wire. And it keeps it away from your opponents, if anything else. But you have to keep your team relevant. And with all these injuries, it's starting to get tougher and tougher out there.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is we're at Week 8 now, halfway point. Stop messing around with the people that you had high expectations for, or you had higher hopes in the preseason, or these guys that you just know what they're going to do, and it hasn't been a lot. Like Greg Jennings, you know what he is. He hasn't really done much this season. You could probably find more upside out there in the waiver wire, or like a Marcus Wheaton who had the upside, hasn't really come through. Stop paying attention to what you spent draft-wise, auction, rounds, or whatever. It doesn't matter what you spent. It doesn't matter the names. It's the production. We're talking about 2014, not 2013. So keep that in mind, especially when you're looking at these guys in the waiver wire. If there's more upside, that's, you know, make the swap. So we'll save running backs, because that's, like I said, this is going to be the meat. We'll hit quarterbacks first. Anybody looking for a bye week replacement, maybe if you have Eli Manning, or maybe you're playing the matchups week by week, or if you own Kaepernick, not a lot of buys this week, but looking at for this week, there's two that I like, and we'll touch on both of them and a few other options if you're out there. But at the top of the list, you and I continue to talk about him. We pretty much have for the past couple weeks since he came back from injury. Carson Palmer, going up against Philly, has been pretty much a QB1 every single week he's been out there for the three games that he's played. Still available in 85% of NFL.com leagues. Good matchup again this week against Philly. I think that Michael Floyd is a borderline top 10 wide receiver. Fitzgerald is at least a wide receiver 3. Again, I said the same thing in the preseason. You know this. You can't have two receivers ranked that highly and not have the quarterback ranked highly. So not only – I would actually have him owned on my bench just to play matchups unless I own somebody like an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Carson Palmer might very well finish the year inside the top 12, and that's with missing some time. So, you know, he's got the great weapons that you mentioned. I love Michael Floyd even more with Carson Palmer under center. I think, you know, Palmer is just one of those guys. He's going to pass a lot. We know that offense there is going to be one where he's chucking the ball up and getting his 250 to 300 yards and a couple touchdowns. And yeah, he's going to throw a pick or two, but if you're in a lenient turnover league like Jake's, you don't even have to worry about that much. So I think Carson Palmer, if he's out there and I need a quarterback, you know, he moves to the top of the list. I can't see anyone better being available unless you're in a really shallow league or play with some questionable characters.
Yeah, and the next person right behind him, actually, like, also matchup-wise this week, but if you look at the last three games, at least 244 yards, two touchdowns in each game, and he's actually averaging over 40 yards rushing per game the last three games. Oh, that's none other than Mr. Ryan Tannehill, and he's going against Jacksonville, who has been, if you put those numbers together, just over the last 3 weeks alone, he's been a QB1 for teams. Again, we're talking about two touchdowns per game, the rushing yardage, even with the turnovers. You get a matchup against Jacksonville, it would be hard not to see him go out there and have 250, two touchdowns, and 40 to 50 rushing yards again.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tannehill was one of those guys coming into the season I was very high on as a QB2. Really interested to see what he could do. Started off the season kind of slow. Really didn't get too much going, but I think he's starting to hit his stride in this offense here. And, you know, definitely has some weapons around him, even with no Sean Marino out for the year. We see the way Lamar Miller is running, utilizing Mike Wallace, Jarvis Landry stepping in a little bit as well. So, you know, Tannehill's the guy we talked about 2 days ago and said that, you know, you have to keep in mind that this guy didn't play quarterback, you know, his entire collegiate career, very raw. Texas A&M, he started his career as a receiver. So, you know, still really learning the position. And I think, you know, we could be looking at a guy who right there as the QB1 when the season ends. I think if he keeps this up, he's certainly in that conversation. So he's a guy you pick up for bye weeks, but you might be able to play matchups with him down the road.
Definitely. And looking at quarterback to continue, two names to keep an eye on. Basically, if you have a spot to stash, and if you have a Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, I don't know that I would unless you're thinking about possible trade value. Really, I'm talking about people who might have a Tony Romo or a Nick Foles, guys you want to play matchups with, or you could potentially see the higher upside. But Robert Griffin and Johnny Manziel. Yes, Johnny Manziel is back in the conversation again. Get ready for it because the Manziel madness is just around the corner. Robert Griffin, obviously, they've already made the announcement that McCoy is going to start this Monday, but there's a real chance that he could turn around and start the week after. They've already moved on from Kirk Cousins. Plenty upside when he's healthy. That's always been the biggest question. And that's, you know, if you go way back and listen to us, you know, I complained and said that that's why I never owned Griffin is because he's similar to Michael Vick, because I just don't want to lose my quarterback halfway through the year. But there is upside if you can stash him, in my opinion. And the same goes for Manziel, is if they lose again this week against the Raiders and you have a stinker from Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel is going to, it's going to be hard pressed for the Browns not to make the switch after this week if they happen to lose.
Yeah, I think Hoyer is definitely on the hot seat at this point. I think Manziel time could be coming very soon, you know, which will actually coincide in a few weeks here with Josh Gordon time. So could be a perfect storm brewing for a nice end of the season fantasy upside in Cleveland. But so I like that call. I like stashing him in deeper leagues. Complete agreement with that. And then Robert Griffin III, I think he's on a lot of waiver wires. I've actually, you know, seen him on a few in a couple leagues that I'm in that are, you know, 10 and 12 team leagues. So I think he's going to be out there. You know, a lot of teams didn't have the patience because he really wasn't playing that well before he got hurt. So there wasn't much to hold on to there. But clearly the Kirk Cousins experiment is over. And Colt McCoy is obviously, they're hoping only to be one game, I'm sure of it, but until they are hopefully able to turn to Robert Griffin, who, you know, is basically an upside stash at this point. And same with Manziel. They're very similar. Whereas Carson Palmer is a guy that you know kind of what you're getting if, as long as he's out there. You know, Griffin has more upside than him, but he's a wild card. But he's a guy, like you said, I think if you own it really depends. If I own an established QB1, I'm fine with picking him up as potential trade bait later on or, you know, whatever it may be. Definitely if I own a guy like Nick Foles, I'm looking at RG3, who can possibly be my starter. And, you know, we know the upside because we saw it as a rookie. So it's just a matter of can he stay healthy and can he start to produce inside this offense?
Exactly. That's the biggest question. But there definitely will be potential for that after this week if things don't change. So, looking at, let's go to wide receivers first because, like I said, there's so much to talk about with running backs. At wide receiver, probably, well, I was going to say at the top of the list, but it depends because you might be in one of the leagues that a lot of these guys are available. So, actually, let's stick real quickly with the Manziel talk. If Josh Gordon's still floating out there, we're only a few weeks away from him returning. So, if you have any spot at all, or if you have, like I said, a Greg Jennings or a Marcus Wheaton or something like that, or, you know, just a veteran who just puts up wide receiver 4 numbers, definitely drop for the upside that you get from Josh Gordon. Somehow he's still available in almost 70% of NFL.com leagues, so stash him away. Please do so already, really quickly. But looking at wide receiver, we've talked about him already. another person who, a surprising amount, 85% of leagues he's not owned in, with the loss of Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham last week has scored again. And as you saw in that game, I have to say, I was talking about it on Twitter with somebody else, Andrew Gard, actually, and I said that I'm actually pretty surprised and impressed at how quickly Beckham's not only made an impact, because we knew that talent-wise, but how, like, he's showing polish. Like, that the one touchdown where he broke to the outside was a very smart move, where he kind of sat down, hid himself away, and then broke to the right, just to, or, well, left, depending on which way you're watching it. But broke to the sideline, basically, and caught that touchdown by exposing the defense. A lot of polish for somebody who didn't start the year off with the team because he was hurt, or, well, with the team, but you understand what I'm saying. Still out there in 85% of leagues, has to be owned at this point. I really don't understand the ownership there.
Yeah, no, there's a major opportunity for him, as well as Ruben Randle. And I think people first turn to Ruben Randle as a guy who's been there for 3 years, as, you know, already has a developing rapport with Eli Manning, even though sometimes they really just don't seem to be on the same page. But, you know, Beckham for sure needs to be owned, and I think he's almost a starter in your flex spot, you know, depending on, obviously, on your depth of your league and your, you know, roster. But he's a guy that represents a lot of upside on your bench. I compared him numerous times, even on the show a few times. I viewed him as a similar player fantasy-wise to Victor Cruz. I really wasn't at the time thinking Victor Cruz was going to go down with a season-ending injury, but that is what happened, unfortunately. But fortunately for Beckham owners, I think he's a guy that could step in. And we've seen it already. The usage around the red zone, very similar to Cruz from a few years ago. And Beckham has really impressed me as well in the limited games that we've seen him. I love the hands so far. The willingness to go over the middle and make some plays is also nice to see. So we know he's a playmaker. And I think Eli is going to continue to try and get the ball in his hands. And so I fully endorse anyone that wants to pick up Odell Beckham Jr. I definitely think he's got to be at or near the top of the best player available on your waiver wire outside of the running back position.
Oh, absolutely. And sorry, the wide receiver I actually pick up before him, just because I see more consistency, still available in 80% of leagues, is actually Malcolm Floyd. You and I have talked about him numerous times. He's a top 25 receiver right now, folks, and he's still sitting out there in 80% of leagues. Not saying that a majority of people who listen to this show are in those type of leagues where, you know, maybe a lot of people aren't paying attention or something like that, but just in case, to throw his name out there too. But talk about some of the ones that are important from this past week. With the trade of Percy Harvin, if anybody hasn't scooped up Doug Baldwin in your league already, do so immediately. Like, pause this show, go do it before anybody else does, because you and I have talked about Baldwin before, mostly towards the beginning of the season, before things really got into gear, because he hadn't been making a huge impact. But as we saw this last game, with no Percy Harvin there, pretty much becomes the number one. There's upside with Jermaine Kearse, who, you know, should be picked up in deeper leagues too, because there's plenty of potential there. He kind of feels that deeper threat, bigger body kind of guy. But the one that's going to be consistent and seeing the targets, especially in PPR leagues, good matchup against Carolina this week, Doug Baldwin. You know I love Doug Baldwin, and he's going to be hard not to see him as a wide receiver three pretty much from here on out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't love Doug Baldwin heading into the season. I just thought, you know, situationally, it wasn't the best for him. But really, whenever he's been called upon in his entire career, he's produced. And, you know, he's been an impressive player out of Stanford that you just like to see. You know, not the hugest upside, but like you said, he's a possession type. I think he's just a reliable guy that Russell Wilson can certainly count on and will go to early and often, as we saw last week, and I think we'll continue to see. I think he's right in the wide receiver three mix for the rest of the year.
The next receiver that we need to talk about is somebody that Bobby and I have told you many times is the most talented receiver on that team. As we saw last week, he outplayed Cecil Shorts, even though Cecil Shorts saw more targets. Still plenty of value with Shorts, but Allen Robinson, not only is he just barely owned, 99.5% of leagues he's available in, I think there's plenty of upside. If you're in 12-team or bigger leagues, really, honestly, at this point, I would say he has to be loaned in all 12-team or bigger leagues.
Yeah, I would think so. And really, he's one of those guys that's borderline startable, depending on how many receivers you can roll into your lineup. If I could start a receiver in a flex and say I could start at least four receivers, I think you have to give consideration, considering how many targets he's gotten as a rookie, how he's played. Obviously found the end zone for the first time last week. He's a high upside player. I think he's kind of just scratching the surface of what he can do. Has a good rapport with Blake Bortles. Allen Robinson, a guy that definitely needs to be owned. There's a lot of competition for catches there. Obviously the veteran Cecil Shorts and the two rookies, Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns. But Robinson, I agree with you, Jake. I think he's the best talent on that team. And especially fantasy-wise right now, I think he's the best one. He's the one I'd want to own if I can own a Jacksonville Jaguar receiver.
Yeah, and I think I figured out a little bit of it. Not to say this is going to sound like, oh, we don't know what we're talking about. But I just never looked at the format because I usually play a lot of my leagues on different sites. And even when I don't on NFL.com, I set up my own format. Nowadays, it's pretty much standard that you use three wide receivers. The default setting on NFL.com is actually two wide receivers and a flex. So that helps explain some of these ownership percentages like Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham, and even some of the bigger names of why they're so low, especially when you compare it to like Yahoo or ESPN, is because if you're only starting two wide receivers, that changes a lot.
Yeah, no, and that's understandable. I think in those cases, if you're only starting two or two and a flex, whatever it is, I still think guys like Robinson, Beckham are guys I want on my, if I have the room on my bench. You know, you obviously can't have all these guys that we're talking about and we're going to talk about, especially when we get to the running backs. Pick a couple of these guys, like the guys like Beckham, Allen Robinson, they've got upside. They're high upside players. That maybe, you know, especially with Beckham, he's got the opportunity with Victor Cruz going down to really carve out a nice role there. And that's someone who's on your bench right now, but you just never know what's going to happen. We've seen crazy injuries this year so far. So we just don't know what's going to happen. So these guys who you can keep stashed are just so important and can be really important later on this season.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And that's what I pretty much was saying before. And you just kind of completely agree with you. Made my point is that these have more upside than those players that just, you know, haven't been doing too much week to week. It definitely would go with the higher ceiling at this point of the season. Let's talk about running backs. Actually, you know, because looking at tight ends, there's a few guys out there, Charles Clay, Clay Harbor. We've talked about them before. Not a whole lot has changed since last week. So just keep your eye out if you need some help out there in the bye week. Or Kyle Rudolph is supposed to be back in a week or two. So he's somebody that might be able to help. But yes, running back is plenty of options. Lost C.J. Spiller, lost Fred Jackson, so that puts up the conversation of Bryce Brown or Anthony Dixon. Denard Robinson got the late start news at around, I'd say, noon on Sunday and had a great game we talked about in the recap show. Ronnie Hillman still available in over 60% of leagues. Obviously, he's at the top of the list. I just want to throw him out there real quick. And Jarrett McKinnon, too, really surprised me against Buffalo. Again, we talked about in the recap show, 85% on own. Both of those would be above these guys, but back to the guys we're talking about. And then you have Trey Mason, who led the way in St. Louis with Zach Stacy getting one opportunity on the field and didn't even touch the ball. So of all of them, I say, and I think you might agree, but we'll find out in a second here. I say for the long term, Trey Mason to me is my top pickup. Maybe not the immediate short term because I think his situation is not as clear as Denard Robinson, even though we can bring up him and we'll talk about his questions. But in St. Louis, good matchup against Kansas City this week, but he's not involved on the passing downs because he's not a very good pass catcher at this point of his career, struggles pass blocking at this point of his career. So we're talking about kind of a two-down back. And then if they're behind, especially after this week against Kansas City where there's a couple tough matchups coming up, you get to see more Benny Cunningham, and who knows, Zach Stacy might get back in the mix because even Fisher said he's going to ride the hot hand.
I'm agreeing with you. I'll still take Trey Mason here. It would definitely be my top pickup of the guys we're talking about. I like the talent a lot. It's a team that's obviously not flush with you know, high upside talent, and he's certainly making the most of his opportunities thus far in the two games that he's been active, really making an impression there in St. Louis. I think you have to be excited for the future of what Trey Mason can bring to the table. Pretty much the opposite of Zach Stacy, and I'm a Zach Stacy fan. I think Zach Stacy's solid, but he's a volume guy like we've talked about, and Trey Mason can do a lot with a little, whereas Zach Stacy really can't. So, you know, there are some deficiencies which Jake lined out. Mainly for me, I like a guy who's not going to be benched on passing downs. But unfortunately, at this point, he is. You know, obviously that is a developing situation, but still the talent is too much for me to ignore. I still think, you know, he's going to find his way into double-digit touches here just about every game. So, yeah, I would definitely take a shot on Mason. I think it's, you know, the opportunity in front of him for the rest of the season is extremely large.
Right. I think that's the opportunity there is definitely there. It's just a little bit murky situation. That's what I was talking about. Denard Robinson is, I think his is less. I think that with Toby Gerhart coming back, they're going to want to get involved again. But I think that they know that Storm Johnson doesn't have as much explosive ability or upside as Robinson. So until Gerhart's back, I think that Robinson's going to see a bigger workload guaranteed. I think that Mason's the more talented running back, but Robinson's role is a little bit more guaranteed. He has a little bit of a tougher matchup than Mason this week because he gets Miami. But looking at this, until Gerhart comes back, I think that, again, Gerhart is going to get back into the mix, steal a lot of the short yardage work towards the goal line, so that's going to limit Robinson long-term, and actually why I prefer Mason long-term. But he's still plenty of upside that, you know, if I need somebody over the next 2-3 weeks, I might grab Robinson. If I need somebody for the rest of the season, I probably grab Mason. But the two of them are at the top of the list.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Obviously, if you're looking at a quick fix, Denard Robinson, I think, could be the more immediate guy. And we like what we saw last week. I would be, you know, pleasantly surprised if it continued at that high of a level. I do think there's still problems in Jacksonville. I agree with you. I think the tough matchup this week. So we're going to see what he could do in the tough matchup. I still think he's going to be the lead back there. I think even when Gerhart comes back, it will be some kind of timeshare. But if Robinson's playing well, I think that they'll leave him in some type of role where he's getting, you know, 10 to 12 touches a game. So and have Gerhart as maybe the change of pace guy. But that's all down the road speculation. It's really the here and now for Denard Robinson. And as long as Gerhart's sidelined, he's definitely got the chance to pick up a ton of carries and really be a fantasy producer for you. And I like the fact that they use him in the passing game as well. They have earlier in the season, even when Gerhart was healthy. So I think there's an option there that they just want to get the ball in this kid's hands and see what he could do. So, you know, if you're in a PPR league, not that he's got crazy pass catching upside, but it is nice to see that he will be utilized in that role as well.
Now we come to the confusing one of all the three situations is big opportunity in Buffalo, but who are we going to see is the question. Obviously, Buffalo making the trade for Bryce Brown, people expected more of a mix for him just in general throughout the season, but it seemed that Anthony Dixon was getting the opportunity because he actually plays on special team where Bryce Brown doesn't, but at the same time, you know, we don't know for sure. We want to say Bryce Brown, more explosive. They see the ability there, plenty of potential, maybe similar to the McKinnon situation with Asiata in Minnesota. But at the same time, there's not a guarantee that Anthony Dixon isn't the one who leads the way because better between the tackles runner. Going against the Jets, who their run defense has actually been pretty good this year, except when a team just really kind of forces it down their throat. Because a lot of people expose them defensively in the passing game. So if the running game is kind of go back to the Denver game with Hillman and how good he did against them, there's your example of what I'm talking about. But I would pick up Bryce Brown because he's got the higher ceiling. And that's what we've been talking about so far. But if I can find a way to get them both, you know, maybe I have a free agent auction budget. I doubt that if you're in a rolling waiver list, you're going to be able to get both. And I would put Brown higher, but at the same time, it's just not going to surprise me. We can speculate all day long. We like Brown's talent more. I say we because I think you're in agreement. But at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if Dixon comes out and he's the guy that leads 60-40.
No, I agree, and I'm a huge Bryce Brown guy. I think he's a very talented running back. He's one of those guys that you see at the position, and there aren't many anymore that just has the opportunity to be truly a really great running back. And it may be for a short amount of time, as we see with a lot of running backs lately, but he's got serious, serious talent. But the opportunity, I think, first will be given to Anthony Dixon. Now, how long he holds on to that opportunity is really up to Anthony Dixon. Running well this year, but really has never averaged even more than 3.7 yards a carry. Very, very limited work in San Francisco. That's where he started his career and spent the first 3 years as, you know, a short yardage guy who spelled Frank Gore at times. So not much work to go on, but the fact that he really isn't anything of a dynamic talent that Bryce Brown is, I think, has everyone, you know, people like Jake and I, really vying for or drooling over Bryce Brown potentially getting an opportunity here. But I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen, at least at first. I think the 60-40 split that you just threw out there, I think that actually could be pretty spot on. And we see Anthony Dixon, you know, be a little bit of a thorn in the side. But, you know, if Bryce Brown plays to his potential, it might be only one game of that 60-40 split before it swings the other way.
Absolutely. And this could end up just being the situation we saw before this with Fred Jackson.
Exactly.
And if Fred Jackson actually ended up being the more consistent or reliable option. So it just, it's one of those situations that, you know, and I wouldn't consider either more than RB3 flex play this week. And we'll talk about that in the rankings shows, not raking. We're not talking about leaves come Friday, but it's just going to be interesting. You have to see how things really shake out. Going a little bit deeper just for a few names, because those are the top options. In case you miss out on those, you're way down the list. You spent a lot of your auction budget. The next name is actually with the Saints. Pierre Thomas is out for, it sounds like, a couple weeks. Not sure exactly how, but it definitely sounds like this week won't be a go for him. And if you looked at last week, over 90% of the passing plays, Travis Cadet, somebody we talked about real early in the season, and as everybody listening knows very well about, very talented, was in for a lot of the passing downs, as I mentioned, over 90% of them. And last week, saw plenty of catches. So I think he jumps right in to Pierre Thomas' value, as in, I'm talking PPR leagues. He's an RB3, in my opinion. That's not going to sound like Saints homerish because we're doing the show. I really think that's where his value is in a PPR league. In a standard league, probably more of an RB4. But if you miss out on all those guys, I could see Cadet easily being the one who just doesn't even get a claim put on him, or you might not even have to spend that much of your budget because everybody's going to be so focused on going for the Brown, Dixon, Mason, Robinson quartet.
Yeah, no, completely agree. We talked about Cadet for a while going back to the preseason shows, and we talked about him in the recap show a couple days ago, that – you know, we liked the targets usage that he got. And it was something that I said that it was interesting to see how he got 6 catches on 9 targets for 51 yards. And I thought it was eating into Pierre Thomas's role a little bit. And Thomas ended up getting his 10 touches, but now it's been revealed that he's got an injury. So obviously Cadet was the benefactor of that. But really over the past 3 weeks, he's had at least 9 points in a PPR, scoring a touchdown in week 5 against Tampa Bay and having 6 catches in the other 2 games. So I like Cadet a lot. I'm agreeing with you. I think PPR-wise, he's probably an RB3 for me. He's a guy I'm definitely looking to claim. I think it's a sneaky pickup while everyone focuses on the bigger names. Obviously, if you're playing with a lot of Saints fans, it's going to be a little bit tougher to be sneaky with Travis Cadet. But I think he's definitely worth a pickup here because, you know, he might be able to establish himself and really carve out a nice role for him. It could be him and Mark Ingram really trying to separate themselves from the pack here as the running back timeshare that we see for the Saints moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. And then a couple more names just to throw out there for your deeper league people. Bobby Rainey, in case Doug Martin continues to have struggles getting the numbers going, we could see something that happened earlier this season. Benny Cunningham, we already talked about him with the Trey Mason situation. If Zach Stacy's really out of the mix, he can still have PPR value in deep leagues. Jonas Gray, It's the Patriots. You never know. One of those running backs could have value any given week. Even James White, who was the healthy scratch last week, would it surprise anybody if come you're listening to the show, so tomorrow night for the Patriots. Or no, wait, that was last week they played on Thursday. So this weekend, that you know James White ends up being the lead runner. It just wouldn't surprise anybody, in my opinion. And that's why you don't want Patriots running backs. Sell high on Shea Vereen. We already said that on the last show, just to remind everybody. Looking at defenses real quick before we get out of here, for streaming purposes, probably the top of my list for streaming purely, of all teams, Jacksonville has given up double-digit fantasy points to opposing defenses all but 1 week, and it was still a pretty solid week last week for the Bills, but Miami Dolphins, I think, are the top defense, and they're actually been a defense one all year. Actually, they're in the top 10 this year right now, so going against Jacksonville even cements it even further. Their ownership percentage and obviously, default settings, you play a defense, so on NFL.com, definitely something to pay attention to, 5.8%. They're not even owned in 10% of leagues as good as they've been this year.
Yeah, and the Dolphins are a team that you pick up because you like the matchup against the Jaguars, but they're a team that you might be able to start moving forward because they are a legit defense. So I think I like them, and I like them a lot more this week against the Jaguars, but I do like them moving forward. Obviously, they're going to have a few tough matchups that you're going to want to bench them against in the next few weeks, but especially for this week, if you're streaming, they have to be at the top of the list.
Right. I think that's – and I meant to say the Browns, not the Bills, for who they faced last week, because bringing them up for the Browns, and that's what a transition – I don't know why I was thinking the Bills. But anyway, the Browns didn't have the greatest day against Jacksonville, but they were still able to have 8 fantasy points because of the 3 interceptions. They get Oakland this week. Again, just this is a refresher because we told you last week to make sure you picked up the Browns because they had Jacksonville, Oakland, Tampa Bay on a 3-game set. If they're still out there and you need a defense, the Browns are another good one. I would still put the Dolphins higher, but again, if you're looking for one that you can use more than 1 week, because that's you try not to have to pick up somebody every single week, because the Dolphins get San Diego next week, and San Diego can put up points, as we've seen with Rivers. The Browns, just as a reminder, would be another one. But to go back to the Bills, because that's what I was going to loop it in, is if you happen to pick them up last week because of the matchup against the Vikings, to be correct, they get the Jets this week, and even though it's on the road, divisional game, they always play well, and they've been a really good defense so far, and I think even against the Jets, even with the Percy Harvin trade, I still like them as I would say they're going to be a defense one in my rankings come when we talk on the show on Friday.
Yeah, I still really like that unit. Obviously, McKinnon went for over 100, but they still haven't allowed a rushing touchdown yet this year. Harvin's there, but as long as Geno's under center, there's potential for turnovers. You know, even though he's got a little bit more in the weaponry department now, and a solid run game with Chris Ivory running pretty well, along with Chris Johnson. But yeah, no, I like that Bills unit. I think they'd be kind of on the backside of the top 10, but certainly still a startable defense for me in a 10-team league.
Yeah, I think that's definitely for sure. Now, looking at one more defense I wanted to throw out there, because if you go about 17, 18 defenses deep and then jump back up in reverse order to about 10 above that, there's only 8 fantasy – well, 9 depending on where you stop – fantasy points splitting all the way from the Bears all the way till you get down to the Titans. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 – there's 11 teams in that group of spanning. That's how close they all are together. Which I'm pointing out because Dallas is in that group, and they're at the bottom end of it at 43 points on the season. But they've been putting up some good games, especially earlier in the year against Tennessee and St. Louis. They broke double digits, 9 against the Saints. Some, you know, unfortunately, they had turnovers in that game, which helped. But they get the Washington Redskins starting Colt McCoy this week. So if you miss out on the Dolphins, if you didn't grab the Browns, if you don't still have the Bills, I think the Cowboys are actually next up on the list of you're looking at pure matchups.
Yeah, that is a juicy matchup for the Cowboys. You know, much maligned early, you know, in the summer as potentially one of the worst defenses in history. I think, relatively speaking, they've played pretty well. And I like the matchup against specifically against Colt McCoy. who really is a nice backup type of running quarterback, but not one that you really want to see in their starting games, especially against the team that is in first place in the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys, coming off of, a couple weeks ago, a big win against Seattle, and last week beating the Giants. So not a very good matchup if you're a Redskins fan, but this is a Saints podcast, so you're not, and you're going to pick up the Cowboys defense if the other two that Jake just mentioned are gone.
Yeah. I don't think we have, but you never know. We might have got a few Redskins fans is trickling through, but we'll see. But anyway, that's it for the waiver show. Hopefully grab some help for you guys, and a few bye weeks left. Well, not a few. We still have like four more including this week. It's just bye weeks are going forever this year. So hopefully you're in a good position at the halfway point. If not, grab tons of upside. And we'll be ready to give you some rankings discussion on Friday for your week 8 to make sure you're still in the mix.